everyone, and welcome to the Women Who Lead podcast. I'm Lisa Potter, your host, and I'm excited that you joined us today. I'm here with a special guest and a really special friend of mine. I've known Nonda Houston for probably 10, 12 years now. She's an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God, and she serves as the National AG Women's Director in Springfield, Missouri for the Assemblies of God. And I love that about her, and I'm excited that she's our guest. She's been married to her husband, Gordon, for 41 years. They served as lead pastors in California for 22, and she was the SoCal Network office, worked there as the women's director for 14 years. That's a long time before going to Springfield. One thing I know about Nonda, she loves her family time, and she has four children, all are married, and they've given her eight grandchildren. She's Nani, and she's passionate about leadership. She's passionate about encouraging, empowering, and equipping women to know Jesus and make him known. So Nonda, welcome to the Women Who Lead podcast. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's an honor to be here with you.
Oh, good. Hey, did I leave anything out? I know you want to talk about those grandkids because I have one. And
absolutely. Jude, Aria, Liam, Lennon, Shiloh, Connor, Indy, and Hallie. Those are the joys. Yes, the greatest part of our life. And being a nanny is fantastic. It's a great, the greatest chapter. Although I don't know if you know that my husband rides his Harley, and so I've been a Harley girl for many years. I don't ride myself like some of my friends, but I do ride on the back. So I'm a motorcycle mama. I don't know. Not really. Not really. I just like the car.
I love it. You
know, I'm kind of a thrill seeker.
Really?
So I do. I love the bungee jump and the scary stuff, the roller coasters. I'm the girl for the job there. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. You know, I used to get tapped to ride the roller coasters with my son.
Yes.
Because Frank and Lindsay didn't want to. And the last one I was on with him, I was like, that's it for mama.
You know what? It just happened this summer. One of my kids, they came here to visit us. We went to Silver Dollar City. And I said, what am I doing? Because I have done that with them. I'm the one. My husband gets sick, so I'm the one. And same thing. What am I doing? Yes.
The one we went on was quite scary. And I remember thinking, Lord, I'll double my tithe, whatever you can do to get me off of here.
I just know I closed my eyes. And you know, when we took off, there's kind of the scream that is like, whee! And then there's a scream that's, dear God, don't let me die. And that I was more in that camp. So I think my days are over on that.
Oh, I love it though. I love that you're a thrill seeker. And I did know that Gordon and you rode your Harley. And so that's great. Yeah. Well, Nonda, it's just a joy to have you here with us today because I know you and I've been able to sit on your leadership team.
Yes.
And hear your heart for women. And so I really wanted to have you speak to the women on the podcast that are listening today or anyone who's listening.
Yeah.
But you recently went through about a year and a half ago, a huge transition. You're a Southern Cal girl.
Yeah.
All your life, both of you, Gordon and yourself, your kids are there. But God called you to come to Springfield, Missouri and be the AG Women National Director. Yes. And so talk to us a little bit about transitions. There's the good and there's the bad, right?
Yes, there is. Yes, it's two-sided. And for me, you know, I try to focus on the good outweighing the bad. I think that as a leadership trait that we need to be, you know, the silver lining and the half glass full. That helps. So, we had never imagined leaving Southern California ever. But, you know, sometimes God brings us suddenly your way and you know it's the right thing. It's the God thing. Mm-hmm. There was never a desire, never a climbing up the ladder, never a position seeking thing at all. In fact, just the opposite. So I knew when God changed my heart and made it abundantly evident to my husband and I. And I'm glad sometimes there's abundant evidence and sometimes it's a step of faith. He did make it really clear that this big move was not just our own idea that we were really, really confident that the Lord was speaking. So nonetheless, it's challenging to move across the country. And again, at my age, at our ages, that most people, our friends, Lisa, are moving towards their grandchildren and their families, not moving away. Yes. So that was a challenge. And that's, but you know what? I feel like as a leader, and just in maybe my husband and I, our adventurous experiences that we've had, that it is marked by a real individual call. And so, you know, the fact that everyone's going this way and we go that way, that's not unusual. I think that is part of leadership that is unique to each one of us and our calling. Mm-hmm. So we packed up and moved cross country, came here to this new position where I've had a great relationship, as you have, Lisa, with our two former directors, Kay Burnett and Carrie Clarenceau, dear friends. Helped them, leadership with them, love them, prayed for them, never thought I would be sitting at their desk. So it was very, just an awe-inspiring moment. It was very surreal. And, you know, when you come into a new place, one thing that I know now better than I have in the past is that I just have to be me, right? I mean, I have to be comfortable in my own skin. We have to know our strengths, know our weaknesses, and that you know how to step one, you know, one day at a time, one step in front of the other. And I felt in a different confidence this move more than ever. And I'm sure it has to do with age and maturity and experience. Although experience, you know, you come to a new place and it's not like you want to say, hey, I'll just insert all the things that I've just done. Mm-hmm. I'm very aware that there is a blueprint for, the season that you're in. It only comes from the Lord and it's just mm-hmm. like anything else. And, you know, I'm really grateful, Lisa, she was able to be with us and our executive team last week where we talked about, and we're able to say that our leaders here at the national office, they encourage us that we are in the season and the day that we are in to dream, to ask God, to say, Lord, what is right for this season? Because we've never gone this way before, so we can't do the same things. And I appreciate so much the freedom to be able to do that. And, you know, it's not like you pick up a book and say, I'm just going to insert, you know, I mean, that would seem easy, but I think the blueprint idea, my husband and I experienced this at our local church. You take ideas, but then what is God saying for your place at your time, on your watch with your strengths and your personality and everything that you bring? It's very unique and different. And it's not necessarily the easy way, I would say. It's easier to just get a book and say, hey, let's go through, you know, chapter 1 through 5, but to internalize that and say, God, what do you want me to do with that? And what does it look like here and now? So the transition has been challenging. And just on the surface, as far as moving here to Missouri, you know, people say, how are you doing with that? You know, Missouri, like, actually, you know what, I do look with rose-colored glasses no matter where we are, because I'm confident and I just know that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And because of that, you know, we have seasons in Springfield where we don't really in Southern California. So we're all about it. My fall decorations are out, and it's fall. It's not fake fall. It's really turning into fall. So we embrace that wholeheartedly. But the transitions in the office, that takes a while. That takes a while to get your footing. Takes a while to learn your environment, to learn the people that you're working with and your place, your voice. And that takes a minute, you know? So I say, you know, I came in and it's to this place, and it's really interesting because there was a couple things that immediately the Lord bubbled up. I came with no agenda. I said, Lord, you're going to have to show the way, because I've not been this way before. It's kind of what we talked about this last week, the Abraham way. I know where I can't stay, but I don't know where I'm going yet. But just in obedience, walking that path. And there was a couple things that bubbled up really quickly. So I knew to act you know, some action steps were needed immediately on certain things. Other things I hold very, and still am holding very cautiously and very lightly, because I'm not sure. Yeah. And until I get a green light, you know, I want to go. I just want to run. But there is certain things that I'm running with, and there's certain things that I'm waiting with. So, yeah, transition is tricky. Yeah.
I love your take on it, though. And you said something I want to kind of go back to, because you were talking about, you know, we don't seek these places, and we don't say, "Ooh, right. pick me. It's like, it truly is a God tapping on our shoulder. Yes. And then we often go with insecurity and trepidation of, wow, I'm not sure I'm going to be really, am I going to be cut out for this? Am I going to really have what they need? But then there's that point where you said kind of in jest like this, you were like, all of what I am right now has brought me to this moment.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I had that feeling as well. And I know others who have talked to me about it. And it's like that Moses moment, you know, where God was calling him out of the bush. You know, he's like, he's standing there. It's a holy place. And it's like, he was saying, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. Yeah. And God's saying, but you're it. You're the one, right? It's you. But he was like, at that point, Moses had been through many wilderness experiences.
Yeah.
And it was like God was saying, the totality of everything you've been through was purposeful for this time.
Mm-hmm.
Like this time, this transition, this new place I'm leading you into. Yeah. I mean, is that what you're saying? Like, that's kind of it, right? And I know a lot of our listeners, you know, transition can scare them, or there's trepidation with it. But yeah, I think moving forward, like all the sum of everything is just what we've been learning in leadership thus far.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that is exactly right. And that's what I feel like I experienced. And I think this move in this transition was especially unique. The other times in my life where we've taken assignments, and knowing that it was God, but I had a lot more trepidation. I was not experienced, or, you know, whatever the situation might be, but still saying yes. And so in early days, I did absolutely had said yes, even though you feel unqualified. And the same is here. I do not feel qualified for this place. But and I would just say, as you were talking, and this is how I wrote a Bible study last year on the book of Esther. And the only reason you're bringing that up, Lisa, is out of when as I was going through the book of Esther and doing that inductive Bible study, this is what emerged as I was walking through this experience. And the first one is that there was 4 weeks that I did, and each had this different title of. The first one is to activate your trust. You have to just take hold of God's hand and step out of the boat and say, God, I trust you. And you know, through my life, I would say I have made mistakes and said, I thought it was you. And I think that's what keeps people from saying yes sometimes is, what if it's wrong? Well, when you've done all and you've sought counsel, you've sought the Lord, you pray fast, you do all the do's, then at one point you just have to step out. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes there have been whoops, you know, but I want to learn from that. Failure. I've heard this just recently. Failure is a part of success, not the opposite of success.
Yeah.
That, right. That's a big part of the equation there.
So
you fail and you stumble and you fall away, but it's part of the journey and part of learning God's voice, all of it. So activating your trust. The second one was embracing your assignment. And that's what I wanted to, that's when you were talking, that at some point you have to say, yes, Lord, I recognize what you're saying. And I, just like Moses, or just like Esther, no, thank you. There's somebody else. I'm going to hide. I'm going to defer. I'm not qualified. I'm not ready. I'm not sure. I'm afraid. But at some point to say, I embrace that assignment and step into it fully. And my husband and I have language about what this happened at our local church when we were pastoring, where, and this can happen in any place in ministry life, where the Lord dealt with us and just said, "Will you unpack your suitcase?" In ministry, I think that a lot of times, this is just in life, we can have our spiritual bags packed and ready and sitting at the door. And you really don't, you can't go deep and you can't go wide and you can't go far if it's right there by the door. And I believe that the enemy will take advantage of that and bring you situations where you want to walk by that suitcase and walk out the door and say goodbye to your assignment. It breaks my heart, Lisa, when I think that many times the Lord, especially for women, has opened up a door of opportunity and we abort it ourselves. And I know I've done that as well, but I'm saying, you know, that we have opportunity, but let's fully walk in. And yes, it's going to get hard. Yes, it's going to be full of challenges, but every step of the way, you know, that we have to really depend on the Lord. So, again, shamelessly, I refer to the Bible study because it was a living example I was walking through to activate your trust, embrace your assignment, find your voice. And that's the next step that I do is, what does it sound like on my watch? You know, I'm not trying to be an individualist, but I know it's going to take a different form than my predecessors. It has to. And just being free to do that. That happened when I came, my husband and I came to the lead pastoring. I was 25 and he was 29. An older church, a church that needed, now we know the language, revitalization is what it needed. And now we didn't have that.
They didn't give us language then.
No, it was just, we had an opportunity and it was rough, but you know what? We unpacked our spiritual bags and we put those clothes in the dresser, you know, and said, and put the suitcase in the garage emotionally, mentally. And that way the devil is not going to talk me out of my assignment.
Yes. You've got to be committed to stay. Yes. And I love what you were saying about, you know, failure isn't the opposite of leadership. It's part of leadership.
Yes.
And so there will be many days where people, you'll fail. You won't get it right. You'll have to apologize. But there will be days where there are the good feeling wins under your belt, you know, and put them in your pocket and savor them. And you've got change down there. Frank always says, change in my pocket, you know, and so you can take it out when you need it. But unpack your bags and be committed to God's tapping on your shoulder, that you will go, you will stay, you will be committed to bring the change. That could somebody else do it if we say no? Yes, but I think ultimately he wanted Moses to do it.
Yes.
Ultimately, he wants you to do this assignment that you're sitting in the seat. You know, there was a time for Carrie, there was a time for Kay, and all of the wonderful women that went before them, but the assignment is now yours, and it's yours to bring the vision to. And so I love that. I was thinking as you were talking about Hagar, I love her story, you know, because she didn't give birth to an Isaac, you know, it was Ishmael and he wasn't the promised one. And he was kind of the jump ahead, and had they just waited, and it sounds like failure. It sounds like a mistake. All of that. But she finds herself next to the well there in Beer Lahayroi, and God asks her those two questions, you know, where have you come from and where are you going? And she calls it, you know, the place where, you know, God saw her, you know, the well of the one who sees me.
Yes.
And, but she knew where she had come from, but God knew where she was going.
Yeah.
You know, and he knew that he was going to take care of her and that everything that she had need of was in her hands. I remember when we were pastoring and our daughter was in, like, just had started youth group, you know, that 12-year-old fresh age. And she came over to my office after church that Wednesday night, and she was crying, and I could tell she had been at the altar. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Pastor Rob preached tonight about what's in your hands."
Mm-hmm.
And she had finally had that realization. And I said, "Well, what did God say to you?" And she was like, "Worship's in my hands." And, you know, and she would become a worship pastor and a worship leader and write songs. But it was that new realization of the tapping of God on your shoulder, the stirring in your heart that I've got something in my hands, and God put it there. And what is that? And it's that powerful thing too. So when God brings the transitions, what I hear you saying is that we can hesitate, we can say no, or we can trust God. God to leave our grandchildren when others are moving ahead, you know, closer to their children. Okay, God, you're sending us further away, but we'll trust you in this season. And with that comes God moments and those realizations that, you know, it's full circle. Like everything I've done to this point has brought me to this chair right here.
Yes, absolutely. It's kind of the Ephesians 2:10, you know, that we're created workmanship by God to do good things that he's already prepared. That verse brings me a lot of solace and a lot of comfort because I don't have to make things up. I don't feel pressure of performance. I really don't. I have in the past. And I can't say that I don't fully, you know, every day, but I don't feel that like I used to feel because it's not my good ideas. I don't even want my good ideas. I don't even want a team's good ideas. I want the God idea. And that comes in by waiting on the Lord. That is in his whispers and his plan. And I do believe that he has those things stored up for me to do that I didn't see coming. That happened in Southern California for me when I was going my merry way with SoCal Women. And then one of my leaders came and said, I need you to take and oversee the Hispanic women as well. And I said, well, that's crazy because I don't have la Espanol. And said, it's not important. But there was a saying yes to that assignment because I didn't think I was obviously there's obvious disqualifications, but God used that moment of blending together and unity between the cultures that I saw God do something in front of my eyes that I didn't plan. And everybody knew I didn't plan and everybody knew that they didn't plan. This was the plan of God. And when you experience and see the plan of God unfold in front of you, it is so sweet. It is so rich. It is so exceedingly abundantly beyond that you kind of can get addicted to that. And that's what kind of spurs me on, brings me forward, I would say, because I don't want anything shy of that. It's not always spectacular, but it can be very, you know, undercover, unseen, but yet knowing this deep understanding and knowing this is God's plan. This is God's way. This is God's idea. And that I don't want to compromise that.
Yeah. And you brought that along with you to the national office, you know, that experience of joining the two together. You have done that at the national office where before it's been separated.
Yes.
So I love, you know, that's what we're talking about here, you know, stepping into new places that God has for us because he brings what we've learned and what we have in our pockets and in our hearts. And he doesn't use somebody. He doesn't like tap you for the job for you to be like the former person that was there. Mm-hmm. You know, you are the right now person for the job, for the calling, for the place of ministry that he places you because he uses you. And I call it, you know, well, Ruth Haley Barton in Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership calls it the great conundrum of calling where, you know, God was saying to Moses, it's all about you because I've called you. So it's about your personality. It's about how you look, all of that. But it's not about you at all because it's about me working in you, the Holy Spirit working in and through us. So it's that great like balancing act of calling, you know. Mm-hmm. I do come to the table with certain gifts and talents naturally, mm-hmm. but I can't work in my natural because I have to allow the Holy Spirit to make me more than I could have ever thought I could have
yes.
been. You know, if the Holy Spirit leads me, it's God's ideas. It's better than my ideas.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's important. They're really important.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. So this has been a great conversation on transition. And I think we're going to, Nanda, we're going to do a part two, and we're going to talk about leadership. So if you've been listening today, you're going to want to join in. Our next podcast is going to have Nanda talking about some leadership. And just thank you, Nanda, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story. And we're cheering you on, listeners. Maybe you are now in a place of transition. It could be, you know, even in what I call marketplace ministry, maybe you're transitioning jobs. Maybe you didn't get that new hire that job that you applied for. Somebody else got the promotion. But one thing I know about women is that our ability to reframe the bad situations and to make it good and make it better. And so maybe that job wasn't for you, but I know God has a better place for you that he's sending you. So thanks, Nanda. And
thank you.
Thanks for listening to us today here at the Women Who Lead podcast.